place puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time to put us all back in Manitoba many moons ago with Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
Now, you left us with a very mysterious clue that I think is going to challenge a lot of people's understanding of one particular historical fact. Remind us of the clue.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the transportation history of Western Canada today. And the hint I left last week was that we were going to look at the first rail line in Western Canada that was built 140 years ago this year, but it's not here in southern Manitoba. Many people may think that the first rails came here in the southern part of the province, but no, this one is in the northern part of the province, actually near the north end of Lake Winnipeg. And what we're referring to is something called the Grand Rapids Tramway.
So it's a tramway.
Now, it's a tramway.
Explain this distinction.
Okay, it's a subtlety, but a railway, as many people think of it, is a very large thing. It involves, you know, big locomotives pulling a whole chain of boxcars, you know, and you can carry vast amounts of cargo that way. A tramway is a more modest affair. It's actually not much more than just a horse and wagon, you know, a small affair, but instead of running on the ground, it runs on rails. And so the rails themselves of a tramway usually are much less robust. They're usually much more delicate. They're closer together often. And so they're really more intended just to enable these things to travel more readily. It doesn't really do much more than a horse and wagon could do.
So tell us about this tramway.
Okay, well, back in the day before we had highways that we have today, before we had railways that we had today, if you wanted to see much of Western Canada, you would have to take a horse. You would have to maybe go in a Red River cart. You know, it was not a very comfortable undertaking. And if you were really wanting those creature comforts, you would go by water. You know, and you might come up from the United States on a steamboat. You'd go up Lake Winnipeg, maybe in one of the larger sort of lake vessels that plied Lake Winnipeg. But then when you got to the end of the north end of the lake, you would encounter the Saskatchewan River. And that was, of course, the destination, because from the Saskatchewan River, you could go all the way across pretty much to the Rockies. You could go to Edmonton. You could go to Calgary, you know, and you could do it in relative comfort because you'd be aboard a boat that was going up the river. But there was a major impediment that right at the mouth where the Saskatchewan River flows into Lake Winnipeg was about a 70-foot drop in elevation, and therefore there was an enormous rapids there. So in other words, a boat from Lake Winnipeg couldn't simply steam into the Saskatchewan River and keep going. It had to stop and, in fact, discharge its passengers, its cargo. They would have to be portaged around these Grand Rapids, as they were called. You know, and it was about 4 miles. So, of course, that was a bit of a problem. And so the company, the main company doing a lot of this transportation, the Hudson's Bay Company, thought, is there an easier way to do this? And of course, the answer is yes, we could put in a rail line. And that way we could just load the cargo and the passengers onto these little wagons. And say there were not much more than just little wagons, just on rails as opposed to just on ground. And so in late 1870s, 1877, the Hudson's Bay Company built this line as the first rail line in Western Canada to portage passengers and cargo from Lake Winnipeg past this area of rapids on the Saskatchewan River up to a point above it, and then they would be transferred onto another steamboat. Steamboat would carry them way off into the west and do their business.
So that was a pretty significant development in technology and transportation.
That's right, and symbolically very important too. In fact, one of the first passengers aboard this rail line was the Governor General of Canada, which is interesting in itself because this area, of course, had just joined Canada not long before. In 1870, of course, Manitoba became part of Canada. So to have an important figure like the Governor General be the first passenger aboard this tramway was pretty significant. But even more significantly, in 1885, of course, one of the noteworthy events of Canadian history is what was called the Northwest Rebellion, when, of course, Louis Riel and a bunch of other people rebelled against the Canadian government. And so troops were dispatched, and this is the way they got those troops to the west. And of course, you needed to get them quickly out to the area around Batoche. And so all of the cargo, the soldiers, you know, their equipment were loaded aboard this tramway and were taken up to meet the steamboats that would then take them up to the battlefields and Batoche.
Who was operating this tramway?
Well, it was the Hudson's Bay Company. Yeah. It was built by a fellow named Walter Moberly. He was the surveyor that had first proposed the idea to them and say had overseen the construction of it in 1877. So it beats by 13 months It's not a big time frame, but 13 months earlier than the first railway, which arrived here in Winnipeg in 1878, the following year, and then about 3 years later was the arrival of the Canadian Pacific Railway here in Winnipeg, which of course sparked the expansion of railways all across the prairies. And that's really where our story kind of reaches the abandonment part, because it was constructed in 1877, this tramway, and it didn't operate very long because, of course, once you had railways spreading out across Western Canada, which could carry much larger quantities of cargo. I mean, these little tram cars could only carry about 3 tons of cargo each, and there were only 6 of them. So there wasn't a lot you could really carry, whereas, of course, railways, you could carry much more cargo. So it only operated, this tramway, for about 20 years, and by the time the competition from the railways kicked in, it disappeared rather quickly. So that by the time of the 1930s, some visitors to the Grand Rapids area noticed that this little former tramway was all covered over in moss and rusty rails, and, you know, it was really the ties were crumbling. It was just, it was deteriorating because, of course, it hadn't been used for quite some time. Well, jump forward more to the present, and of course, today the Grand Rapids don't exist anymore because in the early 1960s, Manitoba Hydro impounded that river to create what they called the Grand Rapids Generating Station. And of course, that impounded a huge area of water behind it, today's Cedar Lake. And so that covered over most of the rapids. So the rapids are gone. Of course, the necessity to have a way around the rapids is, of course, likewise gone. But Manitoba Hydro, in doing the construction for the generating station, actually removed about 2/3 of the rails of this former tramway. They were still there. They were sort of rusting away. They've taken them away and they're gone now. But they've preserved a little segment of it and a sort of a replica car in front of the Hydro office in Grand Rapids, if anybody wants to see it.
Well, that's good that they honored that history. At least they kept some of it.
Absolutely. Well, and even the local students have honored the history as well, because in the early 80s, a group of students came and restored a short section of that tramway, because hey, it is a very noteworthy event in Western Canadian history, is to have this means of getting readily into Western Canada from the Lake Winnipeg.
Gordon, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome, Nadja.
And what do you have in store for us next week?
Well, we're going to go to the site of an 8-sided concrete structure in the rural municipality of Rowland, and it's surrounded by agricultural fields, but it was at one time a temporary camp for prisoners.
All right, with 8 sides.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gordon, thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.